in Psalm 18. Amen. This is a psalm of David, and he spoke these words to the Lord on the day that he was delivered from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And on that day he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. And this is not a prayer for our deliverance at this point. This is a prayer thanking God for our deliverance and just acknowledging that He's there. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me. Floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. And then here comes God with an answer. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and I cried to my God, and He heard my voice out of His temple, and my cry came before Him, even into His ears. Then the earth shook. Everybody say, the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. God heard His prayer. Amen. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils and fire out of His mouth. Devoured coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under His feet. And He rode upon the cherub and did fly. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of His wind. He made darkness His secret place. His pavilion round about Him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. And the brightness that was before Him, His thick clouds passed by at the brightness. His thick clouds passed by, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave His voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, He sent out His arrows and scattered them, and He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of waters were seen, and the fountains of the world were discovered at Thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of Thy nostrils. He sent from above, He took me, He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemies and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. Amen. The Creator of all things, when there was nothing but darkness everywhere, had the power to remedy that and to go from nothingness, void, nothing, and bring forth. With that kind of power, we stand at all. We sing about it. We talk about it. We preach about it. We testify about it. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. But we also should always bear in mind when we go through our time of distress that the God we're calling on is that God who changed darkness and to everything that we know about and things we don't know about. He took nothingness and brought forth everything that is. Amen. And so we're calling on this God that did everything that's been done to cause life to be. So why shouldn't we believe that He can do just what He did here for David? Take His darkness and use it to His delight. For your hiding place. Hallelujah. Take His light and use it as He sees fit for your bright new shining day. Take His troubles that He can bring forth in His ability to make things happen. All the calamities that people think upon as being a terrible thing that's happening to our world It could be that just one prayer of one child calling out to God in distress has moved the Creator to do some things to cause that life to abound and have victory. We don't know why things happen sometimes, but we do hear many reports after great calamity, after great distress. Somebody comes up and says, you know, after I went through all of that, I finally realized there is a God. There is a God. There is a God who can hear us when we pray. And there is a God who can respond in ways that nobody has ever dreamed of. He's able to take everything He ever made and use it for His benefit, for His glory, in your behalf when you're in trouble. Hallelujah. Because the only reason God made this world is so He could have a people for His name's sake. That's the only reason. There's no other reason for us to exist. There's no other reason. God wanted to have a people for His name's sake. So He made everything so it would be right for His creature called man. Breathing. Things we take for granted. It's so easy to breathe if you don't have breathing problems, of course. And so we just breathe all day. We go to sleep breathing. We wake up breathing. We don't even think about it that much. That's probably the first time you've thought about the fact that you breathe in a long time since I mentioned it. Now you're thinking about it. But how many of you haven't been thinking on that subject very much lately? You haven't really thought about it. We see, and yet, all you got to do is just stop breathing for a few minutes and you're dead. So one of the most important things that happens to a human being is the ability to breathe. And God knew all of this before He put us together. Hallelujah. And there needed to be the air that we could breathe. He knew just how to fix all of that. And there have been those who have found that that moment of really distress in a moment when breath was not there. It doesn't take very much of not being able to breathe to cause a lot of distress. You don't have long to get this thing fixed. Amen. You know, we don't think about the heartbeat that much until it starts beating crazy. It has to have a certain rhythm. And it has to keep working all the time. Amen. There are a lot of things that I've seen man make, but I don't think I've ever seen any invention that can compare to the heart of a man. When you study the heart and you see what all it is capable of and what all it does and how it functions year after year, 70 years later after that little baby is born, that heart is still doing its job. No telling how many millions of things are going on in your lifetime because your heart is just doing what God intended it to do. We don't think about it that much until there's a pain in the chest. And then all the attention goes to the heart. Then we start thinking about the heart. You know, oh my, I hope I'm not having a heart attack. Oh, what if? And then we get into that mode of distress. Oh my, call an ambulance, do something quick. And the moment we think about it, we start getting into panic mode, you know. And then if I wasn't having a heart attack, we will in a few minutes if we can't get past this terrible thing that's going on right now, you know, because I mean, that chest, maybe it was just, it started out maybe as indigestion, but now it's stress and anxiety and, oh, what about it? What if it is a heart attack? Am I going to have time to make it? Oh, my. And then when finally somebody comes along and says, it was just gas. What a relief. You might have to pay $2,000 for that information, you know, at the hospital. But yeah, what a relief. What a relief. Think about it. Amen. God is good. Let's praise the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Now, a lot of things that seem like they're terrible things we go through. David was a man after God's own heart, and he had had all these great things happening in his life, and a lot of praise was going to him from a lot of people because he had he had been used of God to bring down a giant and to cause the enemy to flee and run. And he had been used of God to defeat that which was against the people of God. And a lot of people were singing praises to David and said, "Oh, what a mighty, mighty warrior David is," after he had been an unnoticed shepherd boy on the backside of nothingness almost, you know, unnoticed. Even his daddy didn't think he was fit to be a king, evidently. But, you know, any one of the other boys, but not David. He's just a little lad, and we just send him out there to watch after the sheep. Amen. But God knows his business. It doesn't matter what your background is or how much experience you've had. All that matters is you do have an experience with God. You have some things in your heart and your knowledge that God is with me. God was with me, and God can help me right now. And so the confidence of David when he went out to meet that giant was there. He was a human being just like you are. He breathed, he had a heart, he had lungs, he had a brain. He was just a person. David was just a person. But he loved God. That means something if you love God and you want to serve God. He was a person that lived in a time when there weren't any churches, as we know churches. There was no Baptist church. There was no Pentecostal church. There was no Catholic place to go and try to worship God. There was none of that. He lived in a time when the New Testament had not been written. He lived in a time when nobody had yet received the experience known as receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He lived in a time when things that we testify commonly about and things that we enjoy were not yet available. They were just going to come forth in a future time. A Savior had not been born. The crucifixion had not yet taken place. Hundreds of years before all of this would take place, David was trusting in God. Hallelujah. David was trusting in God. And there were those times of being just dancing with joy and full of victory, and then there were other times when mistakes had been made. As human beings do make mistakes, David was one of those who was making mistakes. It's all spelled out in the Word of God. Amen. Even after his glorious victory of bringing down a giant, and after many things that he did that we read about, that we really praise God for how God used that man. There were times when he made some terrible blunders because he was a human being. But there never was a time when God became so angry that he held a grudge and he said, "You'll never have a chance again." There never was a time when God looked upon this man who was a human mortal making mistakes, when God just decided he would never speak to him again and he would never have anything to do with him again. Because God's open door is something that God has opened and no man can shut. It's a door of opportunity to whosoever will. And it goes all the way back to all mankind, wherever they existed and whenever they existed, and no matter how they existed, and it comes all the way to our day. What God was, He still is. And if God is a God of mercy now, that mercy being everlasting mercy, start with the mercy you enjoy now, go all the way back to God's dealing with the very first human being, and realize the mercy of God is a long thread that stretches throughout the beginning, middle, and the ending of mankind. Man may not always enjoy the mercy because man does not always go after the mercy. If you want to go after mercy, then find a way to go to God when you're in trouble. Find a way to seek after God when you've made mistakes. Find a way to say, "Oh God, I'm sorry." If you could only realize that the judgment of God is there, and it seems like you're in trouble, there's no way that you can get straightened out. But mercy can also be found. If the judgment of God is present, mercy is also present. He is a righteous judge. And when When you're in trouble and judgment is all you have, and it seems that's all you have to look forward to. I'm going down, I'm lost, I've made a mistake, I'm in terrible trouble. You get under a load of distress. That's when we need to remember the mercies of God are new every morning. Are new every morning. And you read the Psalms, all through the Psalm. It's all about mercy. It's all about mercy. It's all about mercy. Amen. His mercy endureth forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's all about mercy. It's all about mercy. Jesus says, vengeance is mine. That's what the Lord says. God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. In other words, He has the power to turn loose whatever it takes to shake the elements, to cause the thunder to roll, the lightning to flash, the earth to quake. He has the power to cause the mountains to move. Vengeance belongs to God. He has the power to do what we can't do. We can get so mad we'd like to give them all a piece of our mind, but we can't fix it. We can't make it as rough as in our deepest rage we would like to do it as human beings get mad sometimes. But God has more rage than you could ever even imagine. God has more vengeance than you even ever thought possible, because God is the one that created it. And everything that is tough and rough out there, God has the full control over it all. He knows how to govern it. He knows how to direct it. He knows how to use it. He knows how to stop it. Hallelujah. And if He can find one of us that deserves vengeance, and we deserve wrath, and we deserve anger, and we deserve punishment, down on our knees crying out for mercy, He takes vengeance and pushes it aside and says, come unto me. No matter how many quakes it takes, no matter how loud the thunder is roaring, no matter how many things are coming against you, no matter how many ways it seems that you can't make it, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. If my people, Jesus said, and I say Jesus because we're talking about God who gave His Son, the only begotten Son of God. We're talking about the Spirit that created all things, giving that Savior His own name, because it was the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. You cannot be saved in any other name other than the salvation name of the Almighty God who saves. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, if my people who are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Now, who's He addressing here in the Word of God? He said, my people. If my people will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. You mean the people of God can have wicked ways? Let me tell you something. God hates sin, but God loves sinners. God hates hypocrisy, but God loves the hypocrite. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your ways may be terrible. Our ways may be rough. Our ways may be so terrible that nobody likes us. We may look on the right and the left and refuge will fail us and nobody cares for our soul. Amen. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? Your ways may be corrupt. Your ways may be terrible. Your ways may be obnoxious. Your ways may be something that everybody's just wanting nothing to do with you. And Jesus hates your ways, but He loves you. And the trouble of mortal human beings, when somebody has ways that we don't like, a lot of times we get it all mixed up, and we don't like the person. We don't like the individual. We come against them. We won't speak to them. We hold a grudge. We get mad. But Jesus says, let me handle it. Let me handle it. Because He knows how to control anger. He knows how to be angry and sin not. God gets so mad at the problem. He gets so angry at the way of the transgressor that He will turn the world upside down just to hear one soul cry out, will you still love me? Hallelujah. in my distress, I called out to him. He heard me. He delivered me. He delivered me. He delivered me from the hand of all my enemies. He delivered me from all those accusers. He delivered me from all the transgressions of my youth. He delivered me from all the wicked ways that were even so bad that I could not control myself. He delivered me. In my distress, I called unto Him, and He heard me. No man cared for me, but God cared for me. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. I will hear. I will hear from the heavenly place where God exists. I will hear what you're saying as you turn and call on God. God dwells in the heavens. His throne is heaven. Amen. He is the King of kings with all power over all power. Thank you, Lord. He is the King supreme with all authority over all authority. There is nothing that is powerful that can even compare to the power of the God we serve. Thank you, Jesus. All power, according to Jesus, and it turns out that Jesus is God, so it's the truth. All power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. How could he say that? Because God, who created all things, made Jesus Christ, who walked on the sandy shores of Galilee, both Lord and Christ. God made himself to become available for all of us losers. It wasn't that he wasn't there, but he was so big nobody could see him. So far out it seemed that nobody could reach him, nobody could touch him. So God would raise up people who were human mortals who kept making mistakes and blundering and causing problems and pain. And they didn't understand all the things there were to know about God. God gave man law. God gave man rules and instructions how to live, how to operate, how to go forward. And when man would obey those laws, great things happened. I mean, enemies were destroyed. The sea opened up. Amen. Miracles took place. Lions couldn't eat. Hungry lions could not devour the praying man. Fire couldn't burn the people who stood for their God. And how much rejoicing there must have been as people said, oh my, what a God. What a God. They didn't have what we have today. They didn't have a Bible they could open and say, oh, here's what he did. He went to a cross. He was wounded for our transgression. And it all happened a long time ago. They didn't have a New Testament with the account of how all the things that they were living to look forward to unfolding someday. They didn't have what we have today. We have something that we should really be happy about. We have a book here that has the account of the things that they were going through, how it has reached to our day, and how God has supplied us a Savior on a cross who has reconciled all things unto Himself. That which was has become a part of what is, supplied through the blood of Jesus Christ. That which is going on now links into David's day and goes all the way back to the one who says, in my distress, I cried out to my God. And we can find in our distress in 2010 the same God with the same power to do the same thing for us. And we can see how he did it for David. But even more important, we can see him doing it now. Right now. You toss and tumble in your bed and you don't know what to do. You don't know which way to turn. Instead of getting all alarmed because your breath is getting short and your heart is beating funny and your head is hurting like you have a brain tumor and your throat is sore and you think you've got throat cancer and you know everything's going wrong. You found hair in your bed. You think you're losing all your hair. a little bump comes up on your hand or face, and oh my, that's going to take me out. And you know, because when you start in this negative role, it gets bigger and bigger, and it has friends. Here comes along fear. Fear says, you know what, I agree with every one of these negative thoughts. So he jumps on board. And he says, oh, this is terrible. And you feel it. Oh, fear has torment. Fear will run you nuts. It will just run you nuts. Oh, I hurt. Oh, it could be. Oh, I could end up, you know, one of those persons that can't even move. I could be paralyzed for the rest of my life if this is what I think it might be. Oh, you know. Or I could go, maybe I'm losing my mind. Oh, that's what it is. And you look in the mirror. You find a new wrinkle. Oh my, I've got leprosy or something. It's just terrible. Complexion isn't exactly what you thought it should be. And you think, oh my, anemia, that's what it is. And next thing you know, before you even know anything, you got everything wrong with you that's imaginable. Now, I know people like that. Some are in my own family, and I think they're watching me, so I'm careful how I say this. But you can sit around and talk about somebody's ailment, and all of a sudden, this certain person that I'm very close to in my family says, you know what, I've been having that same problem. And if you talk long enough, this individual will actually go to the hospital and get checked out, because everything you talked about that was terrible going on in that other life, while you're having the conversation, the pain starts. It's, you know, we had somebody fall in here the other day and hurt a foot. And I didn't experience the pain, but I didn't want that person to hurt a foot. And when the foot was hurt, I had this sympathizing pain. I've done that with many of you. I've heard you call me when Sister Judy called and said, Brother Bradley is in terrible trouble. The tractor has turned over on him and his face is, oh, it's a mess. And she was in her distress. And she was calling her pastor. Brother Bradley was still in his distress. And it was a big mess out there going on that farm. Amen. Then suddenly I was in my distress. And when I thought about Brother Bradley out there bleeding and his face torn apart and all these things going on and what terrible, terrible things were going on in his life right then, this horrible feeling went all over me, because I love that man. I love that lady. I love these people. And when you love somebody, you sympathize with them. You hurt with them. You don't want them to suffer like that. But how much more does God love us? Even Jesus went to the cross. He allowed those spikes to be placed into his hands and his feet. It wasn't that, I mean, I've heard people talk about, God wanted to do this so God would know how you feel. God knew how you felt before he made a man. There's not one thing about a human being that God doesn't know all about. He knew the experience of pain before he created your ability to experience pain. God knows everything. Don't limit God down to your understanding. Don't think that God made Jesus so he could understand how we feel. God understands completely how everybody feels. Amen. From every age, from every existence, he knows. He didn't have to have a Savior to understand how you feel. Amen. It's not all about feelings. He supplied a Savior so that no matter how you feel, you can learn that there is a God that you can come to, and he placed himself among us in the human race as a brother who you could look to and say, hey, he went through it, surely I can endure some things. You don't want to go to the cross. What he wanted you to understand is he does know how you feel. He does understand what you're going through. He does know pain. He does know rejection. He knows all about that. He allowed the rejection to happen. He allowed them to ridicule him, torment him, hurt him, abuse him, put the stripes on his back, put the crown of thorns on his head. This was something that God allowed and Jesus intended for you to know so that you could learn. So that you could learn. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. Surely the chastisement of us all was on Him. The punishment that we deserved was upon Him. And He endured the cross, despising the pain. Amen. For the joy that was set before Him. Hallelujah. We experience that joy today as we sing these beautiful songs in this place. We experience that joy as we get up and testify. We raise our hands. We share what we know and what we feel and what we have learned with people on the internet and other places. And we share these things. But it's all about the power of God to supply the need. When there was nobody that seemingly could help anybody, suddenly, in the city of David, a Savior is born. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it's not like we would make it happen. If I wanted to save somebody, I would, you know, if I had it in my power, I'd get the biggest tanks, the most trained individuals of the Marines or the Armed Forces, whatever. I'd get the best of the best. I would waste no resources. I would not limit the resources. I would use everything available to me to see that that individual is rescued from the hands of the enemy. That's the way I see it. But God didn't just want to rescue a few people around Jerusalem. Thank you, Lord. They were in trouble, all right. His people were in trouble. Those that had trusted Him were in trouble. The few who were still praying were in trouble. But God wanted to deliver them. But when He delivers, He really delivers. Amen. He dispatches angels to sing like a choir to all the people of all the inhabitants of the earth. And, you know, songs like peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And as the song comes forth and the wise men see the star and they gather and they make their way to wherever that thing is that they're seeing, and they find a little baby. They don't find great armor. They don't find somebody coming with all these rescue abilities to rescue. They find a little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Amen. And angels are singing. And the world is rejoicing in the highest heights. There is jubilee in all creation. In all creation there is celebration in this little baby being in a manger in Bethlehem. Hallelujah. This is not just a Christmas time message. This is not for only December 25th. This is for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Every moment of your time we need to acknowledge unto us, Christ is born. Away in a manger, Jesus was brought forth. Hallelujah. Why did He do it? Why did He come as a baby? Because God wanted all humanity to know, from the smallest child to the oldest individual, that God will shake the heavens. God will move the earth. God will move the mountains. God will disrupt all creation to make a way, not only for you, but for all of your connections and all individuals in just one act. A virgin brings forth a child. Just one act. Oh my. Hallelujah. David nailed to the cross. And then we get all panicky. I got a splinter in my hand. It might cause an infection. And it might. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh my. Now my elbow feels funny. I believe it's going to my heart right now. My heart's starting to skip beats. Here comes fear. Here comes panic. Here comes anxiety. You know what? You can worry yourself half to death. And if you don't die from whatever it is that was wrong with you when you started this, you may just fall over with fear. Oh, I know what it is. You know, I've had crazy things, you know. I've had crazy things happen in my life. It's only less than a year ago I thought, only had a few days to live because I diagnosed myself. Remember? I was standing there in front of the mirror and I was changing shirts, and all of a sudden I looked and there was this great old big knot on my side. You know? I felt it. I said, First thing came to my mind, cancer. Cancer. So I gave myself less than 3 months to live. The more I felt of it, the more I knew. In fact, I cut it down to maybe 6 weeks or less. I better start, you know, cashing out, you know, meaning that, you know, make sure that all arrangements are made. You'll get all, you know, what to do with the stuff and all this kind of business. And leave it in somebody's hands and to distribute whatever needs to be. And I started making all these plans for you that I couldn't control after I'm dead, because you could change them anyway. But I started, you know, oh, what will they do without me thoughts? You know, oh. Then I got to thinking, some of them will be really probably better off without me. Then I said, I don't want to die because I want to straighten them out. Yeah. Yeah. I fell to that thing. Oh, my. Oh, my. I looked the next day and it was bigger. And the next day it was bigger. Then I got on the internet. Thought I'd find some comfort on the internet. Get some comfort there, you know. You can always get your answers on Google. You go to Google and you write down what all's wrong and you start looking up all the things about that. So I wrote words like big knot on left side, you know. Suddenly appears. And I started finding other people who had similar things. So the first thing I read was this man, my age, born the same year I was born, recently died after discovering a big knot on his left side. First thing I read. And then I read all the symptoms. The more I read, I realized that's what's happening to me. I've only got maybe a week or two left now. Because his daughter had written all this report about her daddy, how he, you know, discovered this big knot on his left side in the same location where mine was. And the more I read, all the symptoms he had was the same symptoms I was having. And I thought, yep, I don't even have to go to the doctor. I already know. No need in wasting people's church money here. I just die and let them keep their money because I already know. By surprise, I'm still alive and the knot's gone. But I'm not really all that surprised, because I'm in a group of people that know how to talk to Jesus. And we did pray. And you know what it could have been? It might have been cancer. I can't prove that it was, and I can't prove that it wasn't. I could probably go to Benny Hinn, and he would tell me definitely I've got one now, but if I give him $1,000, it'll be gone in 5 minutes, and I can fall down and rejoice about it. You can get all kinds of answers in the world. But all I know is, I thought I was going to die, and I was starting to think like that. The more I thought like that, it just got terrible. Fear came. I couldn't sleep at night because I was thinking, I don't want to die. I don't want to die. Not yet. There's some stuff I want to do. Yeah, I want to keep on having fun for a while. What I do is fun. Somebody told me recently, you need a vacation. I said, I'm on vacation. What do you do on a vacation? You get away from everything that you know, that's bringing you stress and anxiety and all this stuff, and you go out somewhere to relax. Well, every time I go anywhere to do what they call relaxing, I just long to be here. I love to walk through here and know there's peace in this place. I love to walk through here and hear nobody fussing at each other. I love to walk through here and talk to my God without dissension around me. I love to walk through this building and raise my hands freely, knowing that nobody's walking around trying to get at anybody. I just love knowing that God is a God of peace. God is a God of unity. Hallelujah. If you like what you feel here, it's probably because that's what you feel here. No matter how rough your life might be, you can come here. Because if it gets rough here in that way, we'll deal with it. Because we paid too big a price to come out of this world of chaos and confusion and disruption and all the hard things that go on in life to get to a place where we can finally enjoy being here. I ain't going to let nobody come in here and change that. You will be ushered out so fast, you'll be dizzy the rest of your life. Hallelujah. I love it here. So when I get out and I go to these relaxing things that everybody wants me to go out and get away from, because you really need it. Do I really? Every time I go, I come back as fast as I can, thinking, what a mess that was. I just love this church. I love to sit between services. All my tangled up wires and all the crazy gadgets I fool with, just knowing I'm reaching one more soul. Look forward to the next service when I don't know what to expect. But I know one thing. Whatever it is, it's going to have with it peace and harmony. And the God who solves problems will meet with us. The God who hears us. Amen. So when we get past all this worry about the knot that comes up, or the terrible complexion that we might have, or the way that we feel that seems like, oh my, I shouldn't feel this way. We get past all the fear and we put our trust in God again. We probably never have experienced any more fear than David experienced when he was running from Saul. When he was running from Saul. Amen. And even Saul wanted to destroy David. Why? He was jealous. That's why. He was just jealous of him. David was getting all the attention. But Saul wanted to destroy David. And in that time when Saul was wanting to destroy David, David found opportunity when he could have destroyed Saul. Amen. But even though Saul had ways that were unpleasing to God, and even though King Saul had ways that God despised, although he loved Saul, he would not have been in the position he had been in if God had not loved that man. But although his ways had become so corrupt, and God despised his ways so much that he had to be replaced with another man. Amen. Another man, though, who would also have corruption in his life that would have to be dealt with. We all have things that have to be dealt with. God is not a God who will always keep a great feeling of, I hate you, I don't want you, you're not welcome here. That's not our God. He hates the ways of man because he knows that our ways have dead ends. And the reason he hates them is because he loves us and he doesn't want us to die in our bad ways. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, including the most notorious one of us. He doesn't want you to perish, but you will perish, although that's not his will for your life. Because God's not going to repent for me. Jesus died for us, but Jesus does not repent for us. Jesus shed his blood for us, but Jesus does not go before God and say, he's saved now. He can't, see, it's not like the world tries to portray it. Jesus is our Savior. And whosoever will can come to him. What does that require? Somebody willing to turn and come to him. The way of God is established. It's perfect. It works. But somebody out there has to choose God. Because God loves you so much that he's willing to turn you loose and let you make your own choice. And if you choose to not live for him, that's your business. And he will allow you to do that while he still loves you, and he knows it would have been better had you chosen God. And while the people that have chosen Christ rejoice, and we find that, hey, all those things that we thought were so bad, they've been taken care of, because God is able to take the worst disease and fix it right now. He'll move everything that seems impossible to be moved out of the way. He will take that when doctors say it can't be done, he'll do it anyhow. When it's impossible, God will perform it anyhow. When it can't be brought forth, God will bring it forth anyhow. When there's no hope, God brings hope forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He will take all the ways of man and wade right into the middle of it. With salvation power, with healing power, with miracle working power, and say, everything's under control. Hallelujah. Though your sins were scarlet, you're all right now. Though you're on your way to the casket, plans have changed. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to live. Though you're headed to hell, now you're on your way to heaven. How do you do that? All the Benny Hinn's in the world can't do that. None of the ministers can do this. Nobody. Nobody can do it. Not even Obama. I know you thought he could, but he can't. Nobody. So what all does God have to go through? Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful. Yes, it is wonderful. Counselor. He is my counselor. The mighty God. The everlasting Father. The Prince of what? Peace. Jesus says to his church, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace. And then he says to all of us, follow the way of peace. Follow the way of peace. So if all of a sudden you have all this fear and all this panic and all this anxiety, and it's tossing you this way and that way, and you're going nuts in your distress, call on the God that David called on. And then enjoy what David enjoyed, realizing that as you call on him, all the impossible circumstances in your life are in his hands. And he moves the mountains out of the way. He breaks down the walls. He opens up the passage across. He destroys the adversity in your life. And he causes you to lift up your hands and say, thank you, Jesus. Let's all praise the Lord, shall we? Praise the Lord. Stand up and praise the Lord. Stand up and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And the day that you've been delivered from all your enemies, cry out to your God in praise. Be thankful and bless His name. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. He is the Lord, our Savior, our Maker. Hallelujah. All things are possible to him that believeth. It's not because we believe it that makes it possible. It's because God has already established the fact that nothing's impossible with God. And so we believe it, and we start having some faith. We receive what's already there. Did you know the same God that poured out the Holy Ghost on all flesh at the same time that that was arranged on Calvary so that could happen? He also poured out healing for every disease at the same moment. If you've ever received the Holy Spirit and you're sick today, if you can only receive what's been poured out like you received the Holy Ghost, you're going to be healed. I can't explain it much deeper than that, although I have a deeper understanding. But the only way that you can know it is to find what can't be taught. It has to be acquired of God. Because if it's taught to you, then you will go by the rules to try to make it happen, and it won't work. But if it's revealed to you, then you will reach up and receive, and you'll have the report, a miracle has taken place in my life. Because nothing is impossible with my God. And I hope some of you will learn why I still live today, and why I'm still happy today, and why I'm at peace today. Because if there's ever been a life full of confusion and torment, I stand before you as a testimony. Life stinks. But God takes the stink away. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let's worship the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's give Him glory. Let Him take the stink away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, God, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, in my distress I cried. Hallelujah, and He heard. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Do you believe Him today?
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Oh, hallelujah. Word of God was preached to you. Now it's our chance to act upon what we've heard. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Are you in distress? Call on the Lord. Are you sick?
and then come, and we'll lay hands on you, and through faith in Jesus' name, God will heal you. You got something wrong? Do you believe God, or are you just going to go die?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
He was wounded,
Jesus,
for our transgressions.
Yield yourself to the Lord today. That's it. Come.
He was bruised
he just wants
for
to
help our iniquity.
Oh, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Surely.
He'll fill you with the Holy Ghost too.
He was wounded.
He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. Surely.
Although David had opportunity to destroy the man who was trying to destroy him, he refused to do that. Because what David was working with was God. And David did not want, while he was calling on this God and needing God to help him, to find a way to remedy this situation he was going through. There was a time to be anxious and to wonder how it's all going to end up. David was going through it right then. And then he found the man who was out to destroy him in a position where David had opportunity to take his life and to hurt him. And David still saw that person who had been used of God as the anointed that God had anointed. And he did not want to mess with what God had been a part of. So then, rather than take measures into his own hand and fix it so that Saul could not hurt him, he just took his hands out of it and said, I'm just leaving it all up to God. Now, it doesn't have to be a preacher to be the anointed one in your life. It doesn't have to be a pastor or an evangelist. It could be your wife, your husband, or your friend that has had an experience with God. Amen. So if you're at odds with anybody and that person has ever had an experience with God and maybe they're out to destroy you or hurt you, amen. What is your job as a child of God trying to live for God? Touch not the anointed. Do my servants no harm, saith the Lord. So what do you do? Hands off. Trust God. And know that God can tear up everything to fix anything. Amen. Just keep on getting better yourself. Call on His name. Be blessed and be thankful and bless His name. For He's holy. And when all gets said and done, people are going to wonder, how can you love everybody? But you can do it. You can do it. I'm loving people right now who've done horrible things, and they don't understand it. In fact, one of them wrote me a note and said, do you know who it is that you're writing all these kind words to? I said, yeah, I know who you are. Amen. I'm telling you what, you can shut the devil's mouth with kindness. Back to you. Amen.
Amen. Let's thank the Lord again. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. God, we love you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for the word of God. Hallelujah.